Welcome, fellow Last Placers, to another episode of LPF Debrief, where Chris and I talk about comic books, TV shows, and movies. And I know you haven't heard our voices in a while, but there is good reason for that. Life, you know, just got us. And we went from like MegaCon to work to
work,
etc. So we definitely have to talk about MegaCon too at some point, but it won't be here because we know why you guys are here. As the title shows, we are here to talk about season three. Just basically do a season three review of Mando because we didn't do episodes 6, 7, and 8. So we're kind of just going to throw it all into this jam-packed conversation as we kind of, you know, talk about our favorite moments and talk about a lot, probably a lot more about episodes 7 and 8. Just so, you know, you guys can hear our thoughts like we always do. And if you guys, as always, remember, please, there is going to be spoilers. So if you guys don't want to hear them, please go ahead and pause this. Go watch the episodes, then come on back because we are going to be talking about 6, 7, and 8. So just so you guys are aware and you don't feel surprised if you're like, wait, this is like a whole season thing. So just so you guys know. All right. Let's get to it because I know you guys want to hear what we have to say. So the season three of Mando has finally ended. 8 episodes feel like it went by super quickly, especially because I guess we were so busy. So before you know it, it was like, oh, snap. Hey, the season finale. So,
yeah,
Chris, what did you think of Mando this season just in general? And also just what did you think of that last episode, which I thought was really, really good?
Yeah, Mando in general was great. Beginning, I was like, okay, this season kind of feels like Bad Batch, where it's like, which I got to finish. But it kind of feels like Bad Batch, where it's just like different stories are going on. There's not much like happening yet, and then it really picked up at the end with basically setting up. They did it kind of smart because Star Wars Celebration happened while we were gone. And they announced that, you know, Mando's going to end up getting closed with Ahsoka with a movie. And after that, it felt like right after that announcement happened, that this ramped up to where it needed to be, where I was like, oh, well, I see where we are. I don't think it was planned, but
I think it just happened that way. I think it was just the pacing of this season. So I kind of think it was planned. Just because of some of the things that we kind of talked about as we went, I felt like the earlier stuff was because I think the earlier part felt slower because of the two episodes that you were supposed to watch on Book of Boba. And because those two episodes were there and we had such a like hype, hardcore moment pretty much with those last like 3 or 4 episodes of Book of Boba with dealing heavily with Mando and Grogu's story. It kind of felt like we had a season. And remember, if you guys go back and listen to our Book of Boba reviews, I was talking about this being like season 2.5, really, because it was so impactful of all the things that happened to those two characters that when season 3 started, it was basically like, okay, well, this crazy thing just happened, so we need this cool off period, because it's just, I felt like season 3 didn't do a good job at telling us, hey, these things happened in Book of Boba. So like it kind of left those audience who, because if you remember at the end of season 2, you know, Grogu goes with Luke. So you're just kind of like, oh, okay. And then now season 1, like beginning of season 3, it's like, oh, they're back. And it's like, wait, what? And he knows all these moves. And it's like, well, he learned them all from, you know, in Book of Boba. So I think that kind of threw some people off. I think it also kind of threw off the timing of the show itself. But I think the payoff was worth it because all those little things that they set up in like, you know, episodes like 4, 5, and 6 really paid off in 7 and 8, right? Especially like, because you're just like, oh, why is this character here? Or why is that character here? And then it's like, oh, okay, this makes sense. Like at first, when you watch the brain episode that was like episode 4, when they erase that scientist's brain, or episode 5, where it's just like that whole episode is just about him. And it makes sense because when you find out, you know, what you call it? Gosh, Gideon's not dead. you're like, oh, yeah, that's why they're asking about clones. That's why they're keeping him alive. That's why they're doing all these things, because clearly, you know, he was staying alive and doing clone research. So that's why he wanted these things to happen and making sure that that's why that episode made sense now after the reveal. So I wasn't, you know, when as if you take it as a whole, the season itself works really well together, because it's like the whole season is really good, because it all of the things that happened kind of like gave you the payoff, right? Like with the whole Moff Gideon reveal, which we knew he wasn't dead, especially because like we went to MegaCon, like we were talking about, guys, like pretty much like, oh, it's crazy that it's almost like a month ago now. But we went there and like the whole cast of Mando was there, right? And yeah, we got to check out like some of the panels and stuff, and they were talking about all this stuff and like doing team up pictures, and we were like, come on now, like first of all, you're also not going to just use Giancarlo for one season, right? Like you're going to use him as much as you can, and we had that payoff. But we also heard, like, you know, during MegaCon, where some of the panels, because I went to the to the Kate and Mercedes, yeah, panel. So we kind of like, they couldn't tell us anything, but they were, she was kind of like vibing at like, this was going to be very much a Bo season. And it was, and I was great with it, because I felt like we needed more of this from Bo, right? Because now Bo, yeah, became a character that wasn't just being super obsessive, and that she could care again, right? Like she could love again and basically just like be like, hey, like, let me, I have this new mission in mind, because of the armorer being like, oh, you could still do your ways, but you can, and still, you know, basically rule Mandalore, right? So, and I think that really comforted her to be like, okay, cool. Like I can do, like, I can unite these two factions, you know, now that they hate each other, but we can unite them, right? Like, and I thought that was really dope. And I don't remember what episode that was, but it was really dope how they did that whole, like, she was like, the armorer was just like, hey, like, all right, let's suck this up. Like, we got to change our ways. Like, we got to stick together. Like, Mandalorians are just better together. So, like, us having this civil war or this crap about, like, you know, if you should wear the helmet or not, it's not really a big deal. If you want to wear the helmet, wear the helmet. If you don't, it doesn't matter. You're still a Mandalorian. And I'm glad that this season showed that. It's just like, whatever, who cares? Like, we're badasses. Let's be badasses together. So I really liked this season because of that. It really developed Bo's character, really developed Mandalore as a whole, right? Like a lot of, yeah, stuff that we got, a lot of backstory that we never really got to get to. We got a lot of different Mandalorians now, a lot of cool Mandalorians, you know.
I want to know what about the guys that stayed on the planet that were like,
yeah, like the scavengers, right? Like
yeah, we've been here this whole time.
And it was dope, like, because, oh, man, yeah, they were there the whole time, but then they like, they grew the garden, like in, yeah, basically like in the mid, like below sea level, and like saying basically like all this stuff was already here, like, you know what I mean? So we just, you know, found a way to build it. But like just bringing Mandalore back, I think is such a and this was something that you knew Dave Filoni wanted to do. If you guys watch Clone Wars and Rebels, like he's always had a Mandalorian character, right? That's like, I kind of want you to explore this because we're kind of working our way back to getting this. And now they finally got that payoff. And I thought it was really good, especially when you take it as a whole. Like I said, when separately, some of the episodes were a little bit slower, but with the payoff itself, I thought it was totally worth it.
Yeah, for sure. The other couple things, did you feel like it was a trap whenever, or did you feel uneasy basically whenever Bo was asked to take off her helmet?
So yeah, so the thing is, and I know a lot of people were just online, and like when you read a lot of the things, because everyone's like, the armorer is the spy, right?
Right, yeah.
Like, and so when you think about it, like, and you hear that enough times, you're like, you know what? She is doing some kind of suspicious things. Like, it feels suspicious, but I thought, like, you know what I mean? But like what she said made sense, right? Where she was like, take off your helmet, and then she was like, you know, and I actually, I'm glad you brought that up, because I liked that Bo kind of hesitated, because yeah, like,
she's like, hold on, I just, you know, got
like
this.
Yeah, she was what like, I just got this, but it also showed the sign of her not wanting to lose it, right? Which is something, yeah, that she didn't have. And now that she got this family back and got, you know, like basically going back to the ways, like she didn't want to lose it. And she was just like, nah, like, I don't want to really like lose my, like lose this right now. So it was cool for the armorer to then go like, do you expect my, like respect my order or whatever, so that she could do it. And then, you know, proceeded with the thing. So at first I was like, this is kind of weird. And then I was like, okay, no, she's not a bad guy. Like, right? Armor, right? Not bad guy. That's the thing though. It is very mysterious, but her character is so fucking cool.
Like, it was just like, there was an offbeat, like, you know, the music's down and yeah. She says, take off your helmet. And it's just quiet.
Yeah.
And you're like, something's up.
Yeah, but
like,
you can
just give me that unsettling.
Yeah.
Feel. And I did not feel any like sense until she started talking again of like, yeah. We need to connect.
Mm-hmm.
But like that moment right there, I was like, I think we should get out of here.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, well, like, we it was, to- yeah, because it was a little weird, but it was just like, you know what? I don't think she's going to stir them in the wrong direction. So it was good to see. And like I said, that whole sequence and just everyone else kind of being like, what's about to happen? Like, I'm not sure what's happening here. Right. So, I thought overall, like it was all dope. I do want to speak about a couple of episodes, 7 and 8 to be more specific, because episode 7 was, when they were having that whole conversation, with basically, everyone around when, Gideon is having that conversation with everyone. And they're just like mentioning my favorite Star Wars character, you know, Thrawn. And they were just like, you know, basically like, hey, where is Thrawn? Like, he's giving us all these orders. And if you guys know Thrawn, you know, he's a tactical genius. So like them having that conversation and being like, hey, you're a person who got brought, like, where is he? Like, all we hear is like, oh, we want you to do this and we want you to do that. As Chris shows off his graded first issue of the Thrawn miniseries, for our audio listeners, check us out on YouTube if you guys want to see Chris showing off some of his CGC graded. Isn't that the Obi-Wan I got you? I got you that one, right?
Yeah.
9.6. That's a good, like, that's good. You can't really.
And then this one I got a while back.
That's good too.
Another 9.6.
Yep. 9.6, like I was telling you, is a pretty good, and not to get too into a tangent on that, but it's a pretty good score. But yeah, just them talking about the character and being like, hey, like, it made me feel excited because I know Ahsoka's coming and I know, like, you know what I mean, which we got to meet Rosario Dawson. I got a hug from Rosario Dawson. So everyone who's listening, be jealous because it happened. Chris is my witness. He saw it all. He saw the whole thing. So
yeah, I was too focused on the photographer yelling at us that I was like, I paid money. Yeah. I'm going
also, to. Also, Rosario Dawson is talking to us, like having a conversation. Like, could you let us live a little bit? Okay.
I wish I could ask her. While it was still fresh in her brain of like, what did you think of the photographer? Cause I'm sure she was like, man, she was wilding out. Like,
they had to get the thing going, but also it's like, you know, we talked about the whole, like I wrote MegaCon a whole letter, but we're not going to get into that because like for the feedback and stuff like that, because you remember that line. Mm-mm. But anyway, so they were talking about Thrawn. And it was good to see and hear, because like it does show Thrawn has this foothold, right? And I'm ready to see Thrawn now. Like, I feel like I love how they're introducing him to be very secretive, kind of very methodical. And if you guys know Thrawn, that's his style, right? He is very like, I'm going to tell you these orders for a particular reason, and I want you to do them. But you can't tell everyone why I'm having you do this, because I'm not going to tell you why I'm doing it, because I can't really trust everyone around me. And that's what appeals me to Thrawn's character. So I thought that was really cool. Even Gideon kind of like asking, like, where is he? Like, you know what I mean? Why is he not here? So, and
we're not going to see him until Ahsoka. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, we've seen the back of his head
mm-hmm.
a couple times now, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I'm super excited to see.
So stoked. Can't wait.
What's to come.
Can't wait. Yep. I think that's my, I if That's going to be my Star Wars tattoo. We also see Brandel Hulks, which we haven't seen since the sequel trilogy. And if you guys read the Phasma book, he was also a big part in that book, which Gwendolyn Christie was also there at MegaCon. So there was a lot of people just there. It was a really good time. But I thought that was really cool. That whole conversation before they kind of settled everything was really cool. And I love how Gideon kind of took control of like this whole Shadow Council, essentially, and just like, hey, look, like, I know what we need to do. This is what we need to do. I'm going to go do it. Like, period. If you guys have a problem, you know, come do something about it. Like, so I thought that was fantastic. Also, that episode, we got a really good moment with Grogu controlling IG-11, which I thought was a great way of bringing IG-11 and having Grogu speak, because he could speak through IG-11, which was hilarious.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Like, and then it was really cool, like, when they were bringing up, like, the fighting, when they were fighting on the ships and, like, between the two Mandalorians, and he was like, yo, no. Like, you know what I mean? And then, yeah. And then, what'd you call it? Bo's like, oh, you taught him really well. Like, he was like, I didn't teach him that. Like, you know what I mean? So it's
also, I wanted to point out, because you brought up the fight, that big guy,
Pat, bro, yeah,
mm-hmm. He has some anger. He's always doing something. And unfortunately, he always loses.
Yeah.
I would say not that fight. That fight, you know, they stopped it in the middle, but yeah. it always seems like, I'm picking this fight. I'm the big guy, whatever. Yeah. And I'm like, you're always getting your butt kicked, bro. Just stop. Your kid's in the background watching you. Yeah. Stop it.
Getting whipped multiple times. Like, well, because you remember.
He has a problem losing fights, and his kid has a problem of getting stolen by creatures.
It's true.
So it runs in the family, I guess.
But also, like, he hasn't won a singular fight. Like, because he lost the one in Book of Boba for the Darksaber.
Yeah.
And, like, the whole, when they got the bird creature thing. And then, but I will say, he did have a warrior's death, though. Because he went out a G. Like, you can't go out any better than that. Like, finally, the gun came out, and we were like, oh, okay, well, this is why you use the gun. But, like, you know what I mean? He was just, like, taking people out. And then we saw the, We did get a lot of, sequel trilogy references, because we got the red Imperial Guards, which we haven't seen since episode 8. So I do like that they're acknowledging it, right? Because I don't want the sequel trilogies to be completely erased, which is why it was nice to get that Star Wars announcement where Daisy Ridley's coming back. And, you know, there's a few movies that are going to be set up. We'll probably do something about that, too, because there was a lot of Star Wars Celebration stuff that we kind of, like, didn't get to talk about. But that was really cool that they're planning on bringing that back. But it was nice to see things from episode, like, from the sequel trilogy, because there is some things, some redeemable qualities about it. Now, the ending itself, I don't know if that's redeemable. But we'll see what happens with this new story they plan on telling. But I do think it was really cool to see them kind of like take out what you call it. They kind of basically took out Paz. Like, I was like, damn, like, that's a bad way to go. Like, because they whooped him. It wasn't even fair. Like, he was, and this man just took out like 100 like of those guards. And then those Imperial guards came out and it was over. Like, really quickly. They
didn't even all three need to team up. No. Like, it was just a one. Put him in a 1v1 situation, he would have lost.
Yeah, he was going to lose. It was bad. But hey, he did what he did to protect, you know, to protect them. And I thought we also got some really good information from the encounters between Bo. I love that Bo spoke out on basically how she lost the Darksaber. Basically saying that, you know, it wasn't something that she lost. She actually gave it up because she kind of struck this deal with, with Gideon. And it explains a lot on why she feels so bad, right? Especially because if you guys watch Rebels and know all of the things that happened, you're like, oh, okay, damn. Like, now that I know that, that kind of like, it makes a lot of sense. You know what I mean? So her dealing with that kind of trauma and trying to just rebuild herself, I'm really glad this season was able to express that, because I always say, like, you have to have strong support characters, because, like, you can only talk about Mando and Grogu's story for like, to do that for 8 episodes of them basically being like a father and son, like, we know, like, you know what I mean? Like, we don't need that every episode. We need those teaching moments for them, which we got. And then we need the other characters to be brought into a light that makes it like, okay, we can go off wherever we want to with this, right? Like, you can do a Bo-Katan series now, right? And you can, not necessarily saying they have to, but you could do one if you wanted to, because Bo's character is built, right? Like, it's fully developed now. So I thought that was a really good, I'm glad this show did that. So.
Yeah. Another thing I wanted to point out for the season, fantastic guest stars.
Oh, yes. We didn't even talk about the guest stars.
So I don't think we even talked about how. So one that sticks out for me, I mean, there's two that stick out.
Well,
but I'm separating those.
Yeah.
Don Cheadle.
Yeah.
Being. Oh wait, no, not Don Cheadle. What's his name? I got him confused.
It's Don Cheadle. Why'd you do this? Are you talking about?
He's the officer in The Office. He's in Adam Sandler movies. Crap.
You talking?
You don't know what I'm talking about?
Mm-mm.
He goes in and he's like, "Oh, basically the Pirates episode," and he's like, "You know, I believe they need help. We should go help them." And he's like the chief basically. And what's her face comes in, Gideon's right hand person, mm-hmm. and is like, "Well, they are neutral, so maybe they should learn." Blah blah blah. And he's like, "Oh, they are neutral, so yeah, we probably shouldn't do this. It's denied." And then he goes away.
Okay. But yes.
Yes. You know who I'm talking about.
I know who you're talking about now.
Oh my god.
Yes. Gosh. What? Yes. Now I'm forgetting his name.
I'm gonna put it out there. He looks like Don. They both look alike, and yeah. I do get him. And this happens to me a lot. But the other ones, right?
Mm-hmm.
While I figure this out, the other ones would be Jack Black
and Lizzo.
And Lizzo.
Yeah.
I thought Lizzo did good.
Lizzo was great.
Jack Black was having you could tell he was having the time of his life.
Jack Black. Okay. Because we're going to do our Mario review tomorrow. And I have nothing but high praises for Jack Black as a huge Jack Black fan. I think he's hilarious. Not only do I think he's hilarious, but as a musician, he's fantastic, because I'm a huge Tenacious D fan and I've seen them multiple times and he's just fantastic. But yes, he was just having the best time of his life.
Yeah. Tim Meadows is his name.
Tim Meadows, yep.
Mm-hmm. Tim Meadows, and the way that since he was on, as soon as I saw him on the desk, I was like, this is a perfect role for him. A person that's just like
sarcastic.
He's like, hey, this is all about, like, we're supposed to save the galaxy. He's like, we got to do the paperwork.
Yeah.
Yeah, do the paperwork. Yeah. He's like, he's just doing enough to get by.
I mean, Tim Meadows is great because he's like, the way that he acts is so good. And he's was great. I mean, he's like, it's the same thing he did in Mean Girls, because he's in Mean Girls. And like, he's just so funny because he's like very nonchalant and his comedy is very nonchalant. So it just makes it funny because he's just very like, you know what I mean? He was great.
Sorry, Tim, for.
Yeah, you confused him with Don.
And then also, I thought Christopher Lloyd did great as a villain.
Yeah.
I felt like that, what was it? Episode. Where is it?
Like
6? Yeah. 6.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like episode 6, when they get to what is it? Plazier 15. Yeah. I'm not the only one who feels this way. I'm pretty sure it was kind of tapping into like the political, how the world is right now.
Mm-hmm.
Politics.
Yeah.
And Christopher Lloyd was definitely on one side, like just the way they played it out. It was like, and they laid it out flat for me. So, I thought he was, and I called it. I called out him from the beginning.
Yeah,
I saw him, and I was like, I hope it's not true, but I'm pretty sure this guy is the reason why these guys are going crazy.
Yeah.
And also the fact that they take a shot at the generations now with cell phones, or he was like, listen, if they don't have robots, like this planet is not gonna. They don't know how to work. They don't know how to survive. All they know is technology. This is it. So I was just like, oh, that cuts
deep. But the thing is though, Star Wars has always been about politics, which yeah, is true. Yeah, that you is know true. What I mean? Like it,
so this one was like more, I gotta say, this episode was more like it was in your face yeah. of like they put it into simpler terms.
Yeah,
yes, we have like Clone Wars. Clone mm-hmm. Wars got very adult
yep.
with the politics. There mm-hmm. was like a half a season, I think, of season three. There's not a lot of fighting. It's a lot of like,
yeah.
Oh, we need to go to this meeting and try to get people on board to vote for this and yeah. all this other.
And because so. All of it leads into the same thing, right? Because yeah. because these things are happening, it's a result of why people are rebelling, right? And yeah. that's the whole point. Like, so it's always funny to me when people are like, "Don't put politics in Star Wars." It's like, it's Star it's Wars. Like, like it is politics. So like, yeah, so it's those episodes were great. The David Lloyd thing I thought was cool. And like you were talking about, there was like a bunch of like little mini adventures of you know, and they did have some great casting as far as like who they brought in. And it also just showed, I love how all of these stars are outing themselves as Star Wars fans, which is hilarious to me because like it's just like, oh, like you like Star Wars. Like that's, I never knew that. But Jack Black, obviously I knew because he's Jack Black. Of course he likes Star Wars, but
yeah, it was like I said, it was really cool to see him.
Like, yeah, it was because I didn't even expect it, honestly. Like when they walked in and I was like, wait a second, what?
I saw the silhouettes and I was like, wait, like, cause you see a silhouette of them yeah. at first.
And I was
like, oh, okay, all yeah. right. And then we zoom in yeah. and I was like, no yeah. chance. This is really happening.
Like, oh, Seth, it's Jack Black and Lizzo. Great. And then she's like, can I hold the baby? And he just like jumps, like Grogu just jumps. So those were great. The last episode I do want to talk about also, the action scenes in the last episode were fantastic. When they were like, the whole scene of basically like going up to tell when, what's his name? Axe Wolf was going yep. up to like going through the storm and all that to get to the main ship and like all that stuff, like using it as a diversion, but also all of them flying down, like the armorer and like Bo lighting up the Darksaber and Koska, which is Mercedes, who I also got to meet and got a hug from. She like just, you know, you gotta put it out there. You know, you gotta put it out there. But they like that fight scene, like them just fighting in the air, was so dope because like that's another thing we don't really get a lot of, right? Because we barely got a lot of jetpack action, and I think this season gave us a lot of jetpack action. Like they fought a lot in the air, which I thought was cool because it's like, yeah, they got these jetpacks, like they might as well use these jetpacks that they have. So I thought that was really cool, and how they choreographed a lot of those fights with a lot of nice close-up scenes of where you can see them actually like attacking. I also think it's really dope that the armorer fights with her tools. Like, she doesn't even...
Right,
like,
she doesn't use yeah, blasters
or She doesn't
anything,
use so blasters or nothing. Course. She just walks yeah. up with a hammer and a bat, just, like, quick. And it's so good. Like, I enjoy that. And then like I said, Grogu controlling IG-11 I thought was dope. How basically they got stuck in the thing. And it wasn't like... I love that Din became very much of like the confidence that he grows to have for Grogu, right? Because instead of him saying like, oh, I need you to get out of here, he's like, I need you to be brave. Like, you know what I mean? I need you to yeah. like help me. Like, we're going to figure this out. We're going to do this together. And just kind of like go through the whole fight scene of them trying to basically find Gideon stuff. I thought it was hilarious when Grogu sees like all the clones and he's just like, ah, like, you know what yeah. I mean? Like, so yeah, there was a lot of good things that happened in that last season. I mean, the last episode too, right? I mean, that fight between like, you know, Gideon and where they pull Grogu into the room and it's like, dang, like, you know what I mean? Grogu's like, no. And then he's just like crawling up the light beams and they can't get him. And then, you know, Din comes and saves. And then we have that epic ass fight with Bowen and Gideon, which I thought yeah. was also cool. Like just seeing them and he's just like, are you gonna quit again? Like, you know what I mean? And then all that, I thought like they set it up really well and it was a really nice payoff. So I thought, and then we see Grogu use the Force, very much like Kanan did in.
I was about to say that.
Very much like that with the whole fire scene. And I was like, I know what's happening here. Okay. I know what's happening here. You guys are giving us these little, you know, Rebels tidbits and Clone Wars tidbits. Like, and it just makes you happy that, like, especially me, because I've advocated for those shows for a long time, because I think, and to this day, they are the best form of Star Wars. Like, the from season four of Clone, like season three to Rebels is my favorite Star Wars storytelling, period. Like, it's just, I think it's just the best way to tell the story of Star Wars. And I feel like Mando's doing a really good job at that also. So, but it's nice to see those shows being acknowledged the way that they are, because for a long time, that was my, that like not even a long time, like still like though, that's my favorite Star Wars. So seeing them being referenced and all that stuff, and now going to, you know, all those characters are going to get their live action portrayals, and Dave Filoni's writing it all. So I can't wait. But what did you think about the last episode?
Last episode was awesome. I was going to say, I am convinced that the amount of time that they flew around in this episode, they could have flown the jetpacks and continue to chase the bird. Just going to put that out there.
Well, listen, here's the thing. So I think they modified. I have to say, I feel like they modified their thing because of that.
Okay, I'll give them that. Whatever upgraded jetpacks they had, sure.
Because they
will say that.
They were flying a lot in this one, for sure. All
right, yeah, and then whenever they go into the cave and you see Moth Gideon's crew fly in too, I was like, Jesus.
Yeah.
So, but that episode, yeah, man, I'm glad we got more of a Mando fight, more of the Western like shootout moments, and those moments I really enjoyed in the last episode, and how it ended too, with Mando on the farm and everything. Well, not on the farm, but having his own place and Grogu's floating the frog and everything like that. And, you know, it's that moment of like, you know, I'll be here, kind of like the Master Chief moment of like, wake me when you need me. They're just going to be there hanging out until Ahsoka shows up and gets them, or whoever's going to get them.
Yeah. And so, like you were saying, I thought the ending was really nice, like a nice way to wrap it up, because like they go back to, what's the name? Navarro. And Greef Karga, I think that's his name, played by Carl Weathers, who was also at MegaCon. You know, he like just being like, yo, like, here's, you know, you have a flat. They also gave Navarro the IG-11, an upgraded version, because beforehand, Mando goes to the bar to go see the squadron guy. I forget his name. But he goes to see him at the bar.
He was in the movies too, right?
Yes, he was in one of them.
Okay.
And then he says, hey, let me get, like, they kind of make this deal where he's like, look, I'm a bounty hunter by nature. Like, I'm going to need something. I also want him, like, during this whole time, after they take back Mandalore, Din officially makes Grogu his adopted child. Like, because he wants him to take the creed. Yeah, he wants him to take the creed, and he's like, well, you know, the creed can't be, he can't speak the creed yet. And then he was just basically like, well, then what if I adopt him like as my own? And then, you know, Armor was like, this is the way. So I thought that was cool that he officially like is now Grogu's father. I thought that was dope. And then Grogu kind of has a moment with the mythosaur that's under there that I thought Bo was going to show up on the mythosaur. Like, I thought that was
like,
going to happen.
Like Boba and...
with the Rancor.
Rancor?
Yeah. I thought that was going to happen. I was about to say, oh, snap. Bo's on here with a mythosaur and a darksaber? Like, so I thought
I'm sure we'll see
him later. I'm sure it's going to be for something grand. But we saw that moment that, you know, Grogu has, because he kind of, like, consents the mythosaur down there. So that was really cool. And also, it's just great to see Grogu's like force be stronger, right? Like it's getting stronger, and you can tell he's also like training it. But it's also nice because he's having this very, like, he's being like, he's a force user who's being brought up by Mandalorians. Like, he's getting kind of like the best Star Wars treatment you could really ask for, right? Like, Rey, like, you got to train with Luke, Like, you're part of the Mandalorian culture, but you also have the Force. Like, he's really getting a good life. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, and then he's like, you know, with the droids and all that. So I thought that was really cool. And then I thought it was really cool with the IG-11 becoming the new sheriff, because that conversation did happen. And then he was like, hey, I got you, I got you a sheriff. So, and then IG-11 comes in. So I thought, like, they wrapped it up really well. And then just, you know, like you said, where Din and Grogu are kind of just, he's like, Din's just kind of sitting back like, all right, this is like my life. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I got my son, like my son's doing this, you know, thing. And I really like that they didn't put a post credit because of that. Like, yes. Let it end, right? Like, let it, not saying we wouldn't love a season 4, or obviously we got news that it's going to end with a movie, but like, it's nice to have that, like, moment where there's just like, we just went through all this stuff, like, we don't need to know what's next, let them just chill and relax for a while. Like, so it was nice to see that ending the way that it wrapped up. And you know, we can't wait to see what they have next. And I mean, Pedro Pascal can't get enough credit. He is amazing. Like, just period. I don't know what else to say, but he's fantastic.
I wanted to say real quick, I think Mando will show up in Ahsoka.
Oh, yeah.
Due to the fact of him, like, hey, I need work. I'm sure that work is going to intertwine with.
Well, Ahsoka. Yeah. When you think about Ahsoka and what she's actually going to have to fight, right? Like, they are going to need some help. Like, there's no way. Because she's going to be fighting Thrawn. Like, obviously, we're going to get, like, Ezra's going to come back. I'm really hoping we get the Rebels crew. If we can get the Rebels crew in Ahsoka, I'll be really happy.
So you do think Zeb is going to meet, like, eventually? Yes. Like,
I mean, they wouldn't have teased Zeb if they didn't, like, they wouldn't have teased him. Like, you can't just show us Zeb and then be like, oh, he's not going to show. Like, there's going to be a moment where the Rebels crew comes together. Like, you know what I mean? And they have their moment. It may be brief, but they're going to have their moment together, and we're all going to be super happy because we're going to see them all in live action and be like, oh, and I know that episode of Debrief, I'm going to freak out. So, you know, I'm pretty sure it's going to happen. Especially it being Dave Filoni, and he knows how much we love those now. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he knows that there's a huge audience for it. And he's the best mind for Star Wars. So him writing this, the Ahsoka show, I have no, like, that storyline I ain't worried about, like, at all. And I think everyone who's getting casted is fantastic. Obviously, Rosario Dawson's going to be great. So, you know what I mean? What else could you really ask for? You know, they're setting up really nice. I mean, it's a good time to be a Star Wars fan for sure, because, I mean, right around the corner next week, we have Visions, which Visions season 2, which C-Rod and I loved. Visions season 1 because it was fantastic.
I'm still trying to put people on it. If, like, people don't want to listen.
It's always like this because it's the same thing that happened to Clone Wars and Rebels for a long time. People are like, it's animated, I don't want to watch it. All right, you're missing out on great Star Wars, like, for no reason. Because episode 1 of Visions was so fire. It was so good. Like, it doesn't even make sense on how good that episode was with the samurai. And then when she pulled out the fan thing, you remember? Oh, I might go watch it. Because
my moment in Visions, so you guys will know, is the lone Jedi of,
yeah,
like, when they all circle up and they power on and everybody's mm-hmm. red. And I was like, that heart drop, yeah, of like, oh,
what? Dude, Visions was some good stuff. Yeah, and good. Also got announced that, and I'm going, okay, Star Wars Celebration 2025 is in Tokyo. Japan. And ain't no way you ain't gonna catch me there. I'm gonna be there, okay? There ain't no way. Ain't no way I'm not going. 2025, this is an open invite. If you want to come, start saving up now, because you got time. You got 2 years. If you don't make it, I'm leaving without you. What I'm telling everyone. So, yeah, but there's a lot of Star Wars coming up, which has us really excited. I can't wait we're obviously going to do Visions, because C-Rod and I just loved season 1 so much. Go back and listen to that. We do have those for you guys to check out. But all right.
I think we did a tier list too.
I think we did our favorite. Yeah, we did at the end of it, at the end of that one. Yep. So before we wrap it up, Chris, what was your favorite moment of this season?
Oh, favorite moment.
It could be moments. It doesn't have to be just one thing. You can say like a few things that you really enjoyed about this season.
Favorite moments. I was really happy to see Zeb. That actually really hit hard for me. It's really cool that that race that died out, they're like, oh, we're going to continue to use it. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. And Moff Gideon showing up. Him showing up, like flying in and then taking off the helmet and everything. I was like, oh, he's such a badass. Yeah. He's so cool. And guys, if you ever get a chance to meet that man,
he's
like,
so
if you ever see him walking or anything, obviously not when he's eating, but if he's like in passing or whatever, go say hi to him. He's the nicest dude.
Just ever. A wonderful and, human being.
Yeah. Or if you go to a con, go sit in that
panel.
That panel. Because everybody who walked out, right? All my friends that were in different size and stuff like that. They like I remember the week I got back, they were like, did you go to the Giancarlo thing? I was like, I didn't. My wife was in there. They were like, it was a church service.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, that's what I keep hearing. That man was like he was inspiring so many people. And it's crazy that I hope he gets his hero moment in Marvel.
He wants to be
Professor
X.
Yeah. And I hope he gets it. But the guy is awesome. He did great. And I hope that's actually a good question. Do you think he's gone?
Huh? Oh, no. Like, come on.
Do you think
there ain't no gone? Way. One like, of those like Kanan? One of those things survived. One of those clones survived. Ain't no way. Because you know what I mean? There's no way that he would have just put them all there. And again, you're not going to why waste it, right? Why waste such a talented actor? And plus, you already set up, I think that was the whole point of the setup for the clones, was to be like, oh, well, one of them are dead, like, but that doesn't, or there might be one more left that they have to deal with. You know what I mean? Because he can be your villain for the whole time, right? Like, especially because, again, he's a great character. Like not even just the actor. I mean, the character is good, right? Like it's a good bad guy, a good villain to have, someone who can just keep showing up. So I think that was good. Also, forgot to one. So did you have any other favorite parts on there?
Jack Black. And that's it. But go
ahead. Yeah, I had a few. I love that. Grogu is now Din Grogu. I do love that. Like, I love that he takes, Din's name. I think that was awesome. My favorite moments, I would say I love that Ahmaud Best got a moment where he's a Jedi and he's kicking ass because of all the hate that man got undeservingly for just doing his job, playing a role that he signed up for, that he was probably super excited to play. Like, you know what I mean? It's not his fault that he had to play a character that no one liked. Like, you know what I mean? It's not his fault. That you could blame one person for that. That's it. But I'm glad he got his moment to basically, you know, to redeem. Like, no, I don't even want to say redeem himself, but to be, you know, in Star Wars in a different light, right? Like now people will know him also as the Jedi who, you know, and honestly, more people might know him as that because they actually can see him, right? So that was one of my favorites. I just loved the story, the Bo. I love what they did with Bo. I love that Bo got time to be a character that people could enjoy. You know what I mean? And actually care for Bo and just be part of her struggle. Like, you know what I mean? I think they did a really good job at that. Just showing off how Bo, and honestly, I'm a huge Armorer fan too. So at all of her moments to me, I liked. I don't want her to be evil because I like the character so much. I just think she's dope. And I also think her armor is sick. With the fur coat thing, like, yo, it is so fire to me. So I would say those were my favorite moments. And the last fight scenes were really good when they were all flying in and all that stuff. But like I said, overall, I love this season. I don't know where I would rank it yet, but I definitely like this season. It was a really good season. Like I said, did have its slow moments, but as a collective, it's a really good season, I thought. So, all right. Yeah. Well, you got anything else you wanted to add, Chris, before we wrap it up?
No, I have spoken.
Oh, nice. I see what you did there. I see what you did there, and I appreciate that. I appreciate it. Also, that was really funny with the when he first gets IG-11 and like comes out and he's like, no squeeze. he's like, no squeeze, because he was like sick of Grogu's stuff. Like, so that was hilarious to me. I thought another thing that they brought back from the sequel trilogy that like really worked. Yeah. So there was a lot of good moments. But as always, guys, thank you. Sorry we've been gone for a while, but we are going to have some more content for you guys. We're definitely going to drop this one. We're going to drop our Mario review because Chris and I both saw it and we both enjoyed it. And plus, I got to talk about how much I love Jack Black in that movie because he was the best part of that movie. And then we have Star Wars Visions and all that good stuff coming out. Guardians comes out next week too. So there's a lot coming out. So we will be back in your guys' ears and on your monitors. I actually like how I ended that right there. So until next time, Fire Team out.